A reading from 1 Corinthians 1. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. As I was contemplating our decade of service together in this position, sir, I could not help but notice that you have given me a whole lot of gray hair. While ironically gaining none yourself. And this too is a theology of the cross, because you did all the work, so why do I have all the gray hair? How unsearchable his judgments. You know the wisdom of the cross like few do. A theologian of glory judges things by how they look. A theologian of the cross recognizes that God's actions are hidden under what appear to be the very opposite. Thus Luther, the wisdom of the wise, sees God in triumph, in glory, in victory, in money, in success, in a life of ease, in slick hair, in health and wealth. Not so the wisdom of the cross. God reveals himself most clearly in struggle and pain and trial. In fact, he is closest to us precisely in those things, which is totally counterintuitive. Jacob wrestles with the angel at Peniel, and as Luther notes, it was a fight to the death. Fighting against God, and God apparently wanting his death. Jacob had to believe God against God. I will not let you go, lest you bless me, he says to the angel. And he wrestles a blessing out of him. The texts pile up with God's wisdom of the cross. Though God slay me, I will yet hope in him, says Job. Abraham, God tells him, take your son, your only son, and sacrifice him. Kill the child of the promise. Apparently quite contradictory to the very promise itself. All pointing to the foolishness of the cross. How foolish this history of God taking on flesh in the womb of Mary. Oh, an ethical life, yes. The Roman and Greek pantheon could handle that kind of a God. Add one more to the bunch. One that wants us to be nice to our enemies. Miracles, yes, they could grant those too, so long as it were mythical and not that serious. But that the very Son of God, the only true God, assume human flesh and be sacrificed for the sins of the world and be raised for the justification of the world, now that would not do. That's not mythology. Jesus is Lord sweeps all the myth away. Such preaching is folly to the world, says Paul. It pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, the God-man dead as a sacrifice for sin. And how this preaching has grabbed you, Herb. I've enjoyed so much getting to know your dad, whom I never met on this earth. His love for preparing sermons, his deep love of the biblical languages, which you got from him. And when I see him in heaven, I shall walk right up to him, because he's family. What a pleasure. How this message of Christ crucified has made you a complete realist, and at the same time, a complete optimist in your career as a churchman. That's a wonderful combination. A realistic optimist. And to be around Herb is to find out that he knows more people in the Missouri Synod than anybody else. He's my cousin's second cousin, and we used to spend the summer in North Dakota together on the farm. Years, he's got a cross on today, which was given to him from Al Berry, I suppose, in this very spot 25 years ago when he became a district president for Southern Illinois. How this message of the cross has empowered you to love your dear family and be a loving husband of faith and a father and a grandfather, even with a travel schedule that's ridiculous. How this wisdom of the cross has given you courage not to doubt God's promises, even in the midst of brain cancer. And talk about the theology of the cross. When I heard this diagnosis, I thought, you know, if I were God, I would not be doing it this way. If there's anyone who deserves a guileless, joyous, long retirement without any kind of difficulty, it's Herb. And yet, that is the theologian of glory speaking. It is the cross that the Lord brings, and he does it for good. And that is the wisdom of the cross. And the Lord will work it for good, already has, and will continue to work it for good in your life. How this wisdom of the cross has made you such a marvelous blessing to me in my life and vocations. How the Lord has blessed the church through your steadfast patience and guileless service. I often say Herb has so little guile, he sucks up all of mine too. 10 years ago, the Lord tapped you on the shoulder for a job you were made for at a moment of crucial importance. The church was listening, forgetting its own great theological and missiological heritage. Using you, sinner that you are, he has blessed us remarkably with greater fidelity, adherence to our own Augsburg Confession, and at the same time, greater love for those who serve the gospel in this marvelous church body. That's a miracle. I thank God. We thank God for your constant, solid, quia commitment to everything this church body confesses, and your constant, calm, patient encouragement and work to see that we actually live by the confession we claim. And all of this with great love, unquestionable love for the saints. We preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles, but to those who are called Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. Amen.